Hello and welcome, Banter on the Rocks listeners. You can find every one of our weekly episodes on Apple Podcast and YouTube. Grab your favorite drink and enjoy the show. Welcome back, everybody, to another great episode of Banter on the Rocks. We got Tim, myself here, and we have John as well for this week. Back after a week break, we were both kind of going through, I had a sickness. John, had a little one that had his kiddo was sick, so it's going around. I think it caught up to John a little bit now, as it did to me. Tis the season, but hopefully John is on the mend. I know I'm certainly am, thank God. But happy to be back and discuss several topics that we wanted to go over today. And one being NFL rants on our teams. Obviously John's Ravens, my Niners, have a little bit to talk about there. And then we also have just the subtopic of our refs ruining the sport. And we'll kind of dive a little bit deeper on that. Next up, we also have college GMs and the college football playoffs. Talk snubs. We'll talk maybe some good former players, coaches that might be good for that GM role across the college football landscape. And we'll finish up with talking about theme parks and are they better overseas than they are here in the US? So it's a little bit of a common topic that John and I have had in the past. We're excited to discuss that one. And just as a friendly reminder to everybody, we are brand ambassadors for Find the Good Brand. And they give back 10% of all of their purchases to Mental Health of America. So it's for a great cause. They have great merch. We constantly rep it. I wear my sweater almost every weekend now because it's just that cold out. And on top of that, you get, if you use Banter 805 as a discount code, you get 10% off of your purchase as well. Great brand. Thank you for hearing us out on that. And we'll move right along to drinks of the pod, John. I'm going a little bit festive. I don't know, it's might look a little bit feminine here, but hey, it's still a
No.
gin and tonic. It
Nice.
is a pink color, but I'm going with Empress Gin. So it's a
Okay.
purple based, and then you mix tonic with it, kind of lightens it a little bit, but
Okay.
it's delicious. I really like it.
Still
I've had
good.
this one in the past. And yeah, it's good. And then we're getting festive. We're
Yeah.
getting festive, John.
We're getting
Tis
there.
the season. Yep, absolutely. Got the
It
lights
is
in
this. Yes,
the
very cool.
background. Christmas
Yeah,
spirit.
I'll say I'm taking it a little differently today, because I'm still under the weather. I'm doing a nice little tea, and this is the only cup I could find. So I'm just doing pure lemon with honey. It's one of the things that's always helped me with my throat, my sinuses. So I literally thought I was about to take a shot, just because I feel like taking a shot might cure all the whatever's in my throat. All that alcohol might burn it, but I didn't want to open a new bottle just yet, so decided to stick with the tea. But yeah, just doing that, trying to get better. Like Tim mentioned, I think we missed last week. There were a lot of things going on with Tim being sick, me, the kiddo, now myself. But yeah, but I think we're excited for this week. And just to get right into it, we'll go into our NFL rants. And I can start with my Ravens. We had a bye week this week, so nothing to be really mad about. Didn't have to
It's
see
always
them
good.
lose, win. But last week, losing to the Eagles, I think it was a winnable game. I think we, I think what I've always seen from the Ravens, and I hate to say this and compare them to another team I like, the Clippers, we always shoot ourselves in the foot and we lose games when we're winning. I know with like the Clippers, I'd always go watch their games, especially when I was like watching them live. We'd always be winning by like halftime, and then they just blow the lead in the third and we lose a game in the fourth, and I'm just like, this just sucks. But with the Ravens, we can't be losing these games the way the Chiefs are playing. We'll talk a little bit about them later. Just lucky The Bills, they lost to the Rams, which I'm happy they lost because it helps us still get a high ranking in the playoffs. But they played amazing. Josh Allen, six touchdowns, three rushing, three throwing, for our fantasy team, it helped us a lot. We got that
It
W.
killed it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so not gonna complain about it, but we just can't be losing these games the way we are. Our defense still struggle, and also they're just getting hurt. Kyle Hamilton again went down for a bit. This is like the third game he's gone out, in just during the game, and it's just a little concerning because he is one of our best, DBs, and we really do need him back there because that's where we're getting burnt, these pass catching wide receivers. So, I think our defense, we need to figure that out. Our offense, we do well. King Henry, Lamar Jackson, great players. They keep us going. Lamar Jackson, I think, needs to play a little smarter. I think he's made a few mistakes, but I don't blame him, because he's trying to do everything for this team to win. And I think my biggest rant is kicking. Justin Tucker, another bad game. If he would have made all his kicks the way he always normally would, we would have won the game, just mathematically. So I know John Harbaugh said he's still sticking with him. I would still stick with Justin Tucker. But I hope he could change it up these last few weeks before the playoffs, because if he continues to miss, I don't know how much trust I'm going to have in the playoffs, because it's a lot more pressure in those big games. So I hope he could turn it around. I think he can, but it is, I think my biggest concern is, do we have that kicking, that kicking guaranteed points that we always would be, we'd bank on, We know Justin Tucker could hit these 50, 60 yarders and never really get too concerned about him missing. And now he's missing, he's even missing field goals. So, or I mean, extra points, like that can't be happening. So I think that's my biggest concern. I don't know. What have you seen, Tim, from the Ravens?
I was going to have a follow-up question regarding Justin Tucker, see if you felt any different, after last week's game. Obviously, I feel your pain with what we've gone through with Jake Moody here on the Niners end of things. But, one thing, I saw a clip actually just before we came on the pod of Jon Gruden and his new show. And they were kind of discussing, I believe it was Jake Elliott with the Philadelphia Eagles and his kicking woes. And then the point of the Ravens was brought up and how Justin Tucker's doing. And he brought up a great point of, I believe you guys have a new punter, if I'm not mistaken. And that new punter is now the placeholder for Justin Tucker. And I know he's kickers are people of regiments and kind of get in their way of things. And
Repetitiveness.
you bet, absolutely. And I wonder if that's maybe playing a little bit of a factor, this maybe the slightest tilt to the ball, the way it's positioned, the way he receives the ball, maybe it ruins a flow he's had for all these years. And now his rhythm's off. I don't know. Do you feel like that might be a logical reason, or you think he just has the yips and
I think it could be because I think the puncher before was with him since he was drafted by the Ravens. I think it was Sam Koch or something. So he'd always have the same placeholder kicker, and I think once you develop that relationship, it's important because I think we've seen it with quarterbacks and centers. When their main center goes down, the replacement comes in. There's usually a fumble, on that snap because they're just not into that rhythm, and that could be a reason. Hopefully they could figure it out. They work together to, the punter learn how Justin Tucker wants it, but also Justin Tucker just trying to adjust because it's not always going to be perfect, especially, playing in the AFC North, cold weather, wind, snow, it's going to change everything. So, I think it does have some sort of an effect. I don't think it's the biggest effect, but I didn't think about that, so.
Yeah, no, and that's something that I wasn't really aware of. And I think it's a great point, just with all factors included. But besides that, I think your defense is much too, to behold. I think that there's a lot missing there, and it does seem very beatable, given, matchups like you guys had against the Bengals and the yardage and game that was given up to Jamar Chase. It's going to be really difficult for, King Henry keeping up with all he's ran this year. I know he seems invincible, but it catches up to everybody. Lamar, same thing. Can Rashad Bateman keep it up? Is, Zay Flowers going to be in there? Is Mark Andrews going to remain healthy? There's a lot of factors, but we can say that about any team. But if you guys clean it up a little bit, like you said, I think that there's some moments where Lamar looks maybe a little sloppy. But overall, I still think you guys are in a good position. I just the Steelers are just that's a tough team, and even in years that you think they're going to be bad.
I'd say they're my biggest surprise this year because I didn't think they were going to be as good as they are. And what I'll say is their offense isn't that great. It's their defense. Their defense is what it makes that team, because being first, what are they? They only have what, two, three losses?
Yeah, I think they're 10-2,
10 and two.
I'm not mistaken.
So, it is a team that we might have to see in the playoffs. So hopefully we figure out how to beat them. Our offense gets it together, our defense gets it together. But yeah, I think, playoff wise, I think we're in it. We're still in a good spot, but we just got to clean up a lot of these mistakes we're making to be able to make it to the Super Bowl.
For sure. In correction, 10-3, but
Number three.
still double digits and wins. And like you said, that's a really tough defense to play. Do they have them one more time, that matchup, or?
I think we might. I think we've only played him once.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, those late season Ravens Steelers games are
It's gonna be
always,
big.
those are big games. Those are fun to watch, especially if the elements get involved, you have some snow and things like that. It's a ton of fun to watch. I love those games. But yeah, that's at least you guys are still, off to a good bout there. And like you said, the Bills loss is going to help. Yeah, and I mean, I will say, moving along to those damn Niners, you guys are in a lot better spot than we are. So lately, I mean, great, we got the win. Great, we got the win. I'll take it. It was needed, I think, for morale. It was against a team we should have beat, of course. The Bears are a disaster, and they kind of played like one. But, I've been prefacing for weeks now. I don't think Kyle's heard me until now. If he has now, or he flips me off, I don't know what the deal is. But highly doubt he's seen any of the content yet. But I would love to have had him catch on to it, because just the running game looks so much better. Isaac Garrando showed what he's all about. Dude, I think scored twice this week, about 80 yards on the ground. Didn't have a ton of carries to go along with it, but he had a big reception as well. He's just mixing him in earlier on. Same thing with Mason. Maybe could have saved McCaffrey a little bit more. Especially in the conditions that Bills game was. I didn't even love for the first In the first place that we were playing him, or had a lot of our starters out there, just because I think just everybody knew we were going to go in there and get slapped. It's clearly what happens. It was a terrible week the week before. Brock is coming back off of an injury in cold weather. There just was nothing there. And injury woes have been horrible. I put out a meme last week about who cursed this team, and it was a funny Keanu Reeves reference of him sipping a glass of wine. He's leaning back saying, "I'm sorry," because literally I feel the same way. It's at the point, it's like, who do we apologize to for the curses that we have on this team? Because it feels like a what could have been team, and it's just decimated by injuries. And maybe it's a what could have been dynasty. We're growing up against the last two Super Bowls we've been to against the Chiefs team that nobody can really beat. And they find a way in the most lousy ways. We'll get into that portion with the Chiefs, but I don't know. It's that mixed with bad coaching. We need something to happen on the defensive coordinator side. I think that's awful. It's a terrible situation. And there needs to be some personnel changes. Maybe Shanahan's kind of dealt a tough hand because it seems like we lose coaches every single year to, good matters where they're getting promoted to a head coaching job. But still, it puts us off of our flow. And it's a constant rebuild with personnel year in and year out. And that consistency that's not there is brutal. So, I'll kind of give my a little bit of props there to him, but it's kind of tough. And now comes in the factors of we're talking about a Brock extension, and a lot of folks are saying no to 60 plus million or whatever he's due for. I completely agree. I think at this point, I think he's due a modest to higher above average amount. Because I don't think we should decimate our payroll on one guy again. Because look what we're doing with Debo right now. Look where our money's locked up with Ayuk right now. In Debo, I kind of want to touch on him. A lot of people are kind of getting after him. Me in my head included, and within group chats, because it's like, what the hell are we paying him 20 plus mil for right now? He's hardly touching the ball. And maybe a lot of that is just due to he's not getting himself open. He looks kind of out of shape. We're always worried about an injury with him, but he's done absolutely nothing. Even in a game where we scored 30 plus points, I think Debo had less than 40 yards all purpose this past week and caught the ball twice for like 20 something yards. It's borderline a distraction. And then now, I believe today, he put out a tweet saying, I'm not getting the damn ball. It's like, go find it. Get yourself open more. There's a reason Brock isn't thrown his way. There's a reason why he's thrown to Juwan Jennings more often. He's performing. Debo's letting balls go straight through his hands. Pause. But it's just occasions where, just the effort doesn't seem like it's there. I'm for one that thinks right now that McCaffrey's out, Mason's out, we need to hand the ball more to Debo to get our money's worth out of him. Do I think he's going to do much with it? No, because he hasn't proven otherwise. So I think he's doing a lot of talk when he just needs to focus on game.
On the game, yeah.
And honestly, I'm good with Debo until he starts performing. Like it might be time to walk soon.
Could be.
We're getting to that point. I don't know. What do you think, John? Like as an outsider, looking at Debo's performances and then him saying, "Hey, give me the ball more."
Yeah, I think for Debo, he like you mentioned, I think he has to get open. He has to make the plays. He has to show his worth because your quarterback has to trust you to hand you the ball. You could look at today, Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase. He threw the ball so much to him, and it's because he trusts him. He knows he's going to get open. He's going to do whatever to separate. And Debo hasn't been showing that, so maybe he has to go back to the run game. I know when he was doing it consistently, he was doing decent. He wasn't not doing too well, but he was getting the yardage. He was being productive, but injury woes, I think, is what the concern is, and that's why they're probably not using him. But yeah, I think it might be time for Debo to move on. I think, I had the question for you: is Brock Purdy worth getting paid right now? Because you guys got to think about it. This was supposed to be the year you guys had to win it before the big paychecks come out. You guys already paid a Uke. I think Jennings, didn't he get an extension?
He just did this past offseason, and it was for such a great deal for the team, honestly. If he would have had this year and then gotten paid, it would have been double.
So he's gotten paid, so it's like, and now you're looking, you might have to pay Mason, Jordan Mason. You need that backup for McCaffrey. You might have to pay Garrido because he's been showing it, that he's worth the money. So I think there's a lot for the 49ers. I think the one thing we sort of talked about, when we knew CMC was coming back, we said it. They should keep it easy with him. They should not let him be the main person. Mixon, I think we already talked about Mason because that's all we saw for a while. But Garrido showing it. A three-headed running back committee to sort of save McCaffrey. You guys could have been in a lot better place right now, injury-wise at least. Win-wise, you guys still may have struggled with it. But injury-wise, where you're not losing McCaffrey almost probably for the rest of the year, hopefully not. But it's a tough place. Do you feel like there's any chance for the 49ers to make the playoffs?
Not so much after the Rams win. I think that was kind of a nail in the coffin there, and especially doing it against the Bills, who just devoured us the week before. It's kind of rough to look at, and the Rams just look like a more complete team right now. We just don't look like a good team. We look good, better this past week. It's tough to say how we compare against Seattle right now. Seattle looks good. Charbonnet had a great game. Arizona has had great, a great season. I think they've well overperformed their expectations. So the divisions is really tough. I know it's kind of a tight pack. It's kind of separating a little bit with Seattle. And then the Rams in Arizona behind them. But I don't think there's much hope. And quite frankly, I think the way the season's gone, and McCaffrey, he already sent out like an Insta post where it seems like he's chalking it up and just ready, preparing for 2025. So I think the next time we're going to see him is September 2025, which seems so far away right now. But I just think that we kind of let things go and just look towards next season. I hope we kind of take it easy in the win category, to be honest with you, because I'd like to see Kira a decent pick, and go for, we really need to solidify our line. The O line is kind of rough. Trent Williams is, I think he's 37 or going to be 37.
He's
He's
up
getting
there.
up there in age, and it's just, even the questions posed, has the time passed already? The window's gone, maybe. I don't know. It's just such a tight window for so many teams. And, it's even with the Chiefs, it kind of seems like we're seeing it a little bit. If you want to start diving into the Chiefs, I think maybe that's a good little leeway into it. It's Kelce hasn't quite seemed the same this year. Maybe they're preserving a lot of what he has for the playoffs because they know that they're going to make it. And, I got to give you props, John, because you came up with this. With this slogan of the Chiefs lucky early on in the season. I think it was after week four, I think it was really early on. And it was just like the Ravens close win. Then it was another game. It just seems like they prepped themselves the entire game just to take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. Then they're like, oh, we're down 2 minutes to go. Here's our time to run out the clock. We know we can do it. They did it perfectly again against the Chargers last night. Had a doinker. With their kicker they have right now, but props to him, he still made it. But just this Chiefs slogan of their luck, and obviously they've already clinched the playoff berth. And did they clinch the division along with that, or was it just the playoff berth?
I think it's just the playoffs. I think if they win next week and the Bills lose, they might be able to clinch.
Okay, got it. Do you feel like the Chiefs team is a Super Bowl caliber team?
I think they're only a Super Bowl caliber team because of Patrick Mahomes. I think without Patrick Mahomes, they wouldn't be. I'm still gonna say it. They're the luckiest team ever because those one last second wins, if it would go the opposite way, they wouldn't be in the playoffs right now. They would have more losses than wins. So I think they're just lucky. Patrick Mahomes, you ha always have to give him credit because he is doing a lot with very little. They lost their top wide receiver. They lost their running back, who could be back for the playoffs. And he's still making it happen. He's not having an MVP season, but he's doing enough to take this team to the show. Kelce, like you mentioned, who knows if they're saving him for the playoffs because they know it's going to be a harder route this year because everybody's going to be after them. Nobody wants to see them win that three-peat. So I think they're playoff caliber only because of Patrick Mahomes. If they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, I don't think they would be in the running or even in the conversation at all. So that's my thought. Like I say, I'm not a, you could say I'm a Chief hater, somewhat.
It's okay. There's
But
many of us.
I think they're just so lucky. And I did that little post on TikTok yesterday with the Breaking Bad,
Yeah,
like to Jesse,
it's great.
how can you keep this is still happen? And some of the comments was like, some people were like, oh, I paid two paychecks to, extend the field goal, so it could go in. And I'm like, man, if that's all it takes, I'm gonna start giving up my paychecks for the Ravens. But I think with like one of the other things you mentioned in, the preview of what we were gonna talk about, I also think it's the refs. If you look at a lot of their games, they get a lot of no calls, a lot of these false starts on the offensive line, a lot of holding calls, and there's just so much happening for them. And I'm not gonna say it's just the Chiefs that get away with stuff. I think I forget what game I saw the Ravens got away with like a face mask. I think it was against the Bengals to Joe Burrow. I saw
Oh,
it. We got
yes.
away. We got away with it, but I don't think we get away with it. Any other team gets away with it as much as the Chiefs do. Anything Patrick Mahomes complains about, they're gonna throw the flag for him. You always see him huddling up with these referees talking, figuring out who's on their fantasy team or on their parlay list, I'm like, how can I
Yeah.
help you? How can you help me? type thing. So I think they're lucky. I hope their luck runs out in the playoffs, but I just don't know. But I also think the refs really support the Chiefs, and I think it's sort of the topic we also had on top of the Chiefs is, are the refs ruining the game? And I think they are, when refs do that, favor one team more than the other, it just hurts the whole game, I think, in general.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because who are we paying to watch? Players are the refs. Nobody wants to go see the refs. They get booed before the game when they announce their names. It's just, yeah. And then when it comes to the Chiefs, without a doubt, it feels like they get all the calls their way, especially on pivotal drives, or just consistency over, the game itself. We saw it in the, I continue to reference this past Super Bowl with the Niners. It seemed like consistently their O-line was jumping ahead of the snap to get a little bit of a break on Joey Bosa coming in, or sorry, Nick Bosa coming in and trying to get Mahomes. That little bit of that quick pivot that allows him to kind of get more in front of where Bosa is going to go made all the difference in the world. And then on top of that, they were the way they were blocking him. They were literally going up into the helmet, so it would have been what, like a high block, and then shoving his head backwards, and then it just looks like such obvious holding. I was actually shocked to see it in last night's game against the Chargers that they did call on the D tackle a I know I'm switching sides here, but on the D tackle, he was called for defensive holding because he had one arm on the O lineman, but then he grabbed another O lineman with his other arm to kind of block, stop him from becoming a lead block for the running back. And but it's plays like that it feels like they get away with more often than not. And then it's leading to these super frustrating, like end of game 30-yard field goals that just win it for them. And it just feels like how did you lose that game? It's absolutely brutal, and it takes all the wind out of the sails. And then it's like, and then at the end, you see the Chiefs coming out winning 19-18, and some, lackadaisical win. And Mahomes isn't putting up great numbers anymore. I know he's had a lot of injuries around him, but I don't know. It's just the team does itself doesn't seem good, but they're still finding a way, and that's what makes me nervous about them repeating. I mean, shout out Chiefs Kingdom. You guys got something good going and
They do.
live it up. I think it's great, great for them. But with the refs, it's become really brutal at times, and I feel like they just kind of overpower certain moments that are not meant to be overpowered by a referee. And I kind of just briefly, John, wanted to leeway this into other sports because I know I shared a clip of a Ja Morant foul call the other night. And he, by no means, I'm not a huge Ja Morant fan. I think he's good for the game and what he does on the court. You know, he's fun to watch, but he's playing defense. And I think he had already had one technical in the game. And then this was going to be his second. But then literally just put his arms up in the air. They did the repeat o replay over and over again. And then, of course, Ja gets like super frustrated, goes around the court, gets teed up again. But just that foul call in general makes the NBA unwatchable. And it happens consistently every single night. And it just takes away from moments. It takes away from the momentum of the game. And it's just like we're not paying to watch these stupid foul calls, and it drives me nuts. I don't know I know a lot of people are just turning away from the NBA altogether, but I don't know, John, have you seen it in other sports, and are you kind of garnering that same frustration?
No, yeah, I have the same frustration, especially in the NBA, because there's been a lot of these calls where, these players are playing a game where they're getting paid millions, and they have these emotions because this is their job, their livelihood, So when they get frustrated, throw their arms up. I understand it's probably not the best look, but it's real emotions. Like, why are you guys giving a T to Ja Morant? Like, yeah, he's frustrated. You already gave him the foul, the one technical, just because he threw his arms up and maybe said one, two cuss words. Like, you're taking that other technical. Like, don't. That's just being petty on the referee side. Like you mentioned, it's not about them. It's about the players. Just make sure they're playing a good game. People go there to watch Ja Morant. These big name players. So, don't try to. Eject them with technicals just because you're not happy of how they're reacting to your calls or, but yeah, I'm not a fan. I do agree that the NBA is losing viewers, and I think I read somewhere that their viewership this year is a lot lower. I think it always picks up in the playoffs, and I think, I think the other reason, sort of off track a bit, the NBA, the reason it's a lot lower is because of load management, people not playing, nobody really wants to see just a second tier squad be play basketball, whereas when it comes to the playoffs, they're gonna play every game, no matter what. So it's a lot more entertaining. So, but other sports that do it, I was trying to think about it. I think soccer sometimes does it for like their high profile players. Not specifically teams, maybe for like some teams. I think especially in Europe, like the Barcelona, Real Madrid, I think they probably get a few more calls than other teams. But then the one sport I was sort of trying to think is hockey, but I don't really watch it as much, so I don't know if it happens there as much. I don't know if you have.
I'd love to watch hockey more, and I need to because it's super entertaining whenever I do happen to put it on. Usually it's like a random Saturday morning, or you know, they have a lot of early games on weekends at times. But you know, one thing about hockey is they're punching each other in the face, and you know, then they just go to the penalty box. So I mean, they're getting away with a lot more. I don't, again, I'm kind of like you, I don't watch enough to really kind of decipher whether or not they're impeding on the game. But I mean, it seems like there's a lot more elements to hockey that, like, the flow isn't really ruined by refs. There isn't that much of a chance. You know, baseball's another one that I feel like certain umpires just destroy a game and want to take it over, and they have such huge egos that it's just ridiculous, and it drives me nuts. I can't think of any names off the top of my head. I'm terrible with names, but there's just a few umpires that, like, when they're behind home plate, and like their strike zone is different depending on, I feel like, the player that comes up to bat, and just the lack of consistency. It's like, dude, just get a robot up there at this point and have them call it, because it's abysmal. You know, and it's a really big bummer to kind of have sports ruined by those moments. And it kind of gives certain teams momentum, and it almost feels like, in going back to the Chiefs again, it feels like they give the momentum to the teams that maybe the NFL wants to succeed because they're big names. They have a lot of people following them, a lot of celebrity clientele with Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. There's a lot going on with that team. So, yeah, I guess we'll see how it changes and come playoff time if there's a big difference.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be interesting during the playoffs to see if they're still getting away with these calls, if they're going to be playing it a lot closer. But yeah, it's a mystery. We'll see. I think one thing, Tim, I wanted to sort of ask you before we go on to our next subject. We made preseason predictions of who was going to be, outstanding, who was going to be, our big calls. Mine, I'm gonna say horrible pick because I picked the Raiders to make it to the playoffs. They're not even close.
They're securing that first pick, though.
They're securing a nice little draft pick. I hate that it didn't happen because I think when the Raiders make the playoffs, it's good for the NFL because they have a great fan base, they have great history. It's unfortunate. Zamir White, I thought he was gonna break out this year. Been a no-show,
He was a
Minshew,
sleeper pick for me.
yeah, Minshew magic, no magic right there.
O'Connell.
I think Brock Bowers is their only, savior with Max Crosby, but I think there needs to be a lot of changes there for them to have the potential for the future. I'll leave that one. I made a bad pick, didn't come to fruition. But your pick, Tim, that was another big one.
I'll join you, buddy. I had the
Yeah.
Bears, right? Bears taking the division. Looking real good now. Fired coordinator, coach before season's over. Caleb hasn't lived up to the hype, but I guess he kind of can chalk that up to his coaching. Who knows? That roster looks a lot better on paper, though, that's for sure. And I was gonna make a joke that I chose the Vikings to go 11-2 and sneak in there. And but yeah, that division is just a monstrosity, and it's just the Bears really have to do something crazy. And I'm very interested to see who can step in and become a head coach there. I feel like a guy like Vrabel would be really interesting going into the head coaching position there. I did hear some rumors, don't know if they're true, that he does want some I guess aspect in the say of like partial GM choices. With a guy like Vrabel, I think he kind of got to do it. He holds more weight than their current GM does anyway. So
Ryan Poles.
Ryan Poles. So we'll see, but yeah, no, my pick's not great either. Definitely had Caleb, I think taking rookie of the year too, and just was hyping him up. And Jaden Daniels had a great start to the season. He's kind of, I guess he had a little bit of a slump, kind of more up on the uptick again, but it's Caleb's kind of bounced here and there, but yeah, it's overall, it seems like stat padding at this point. So both of us will each bite the bullet, John.
Like I said, I think they started off pretty well. I think they were like what, 5-2? It looked pretty promising, even though it was a tough division, and then it just went woo, just
Yeah, big time. Yeah. It's a steep mountain.
Yeah, so no, yeah,
Not
but I
good.
wanted to bring that up because I was like, we know a lot of these teams, and I think our picks, there's no chance for them to come back the way we wanted them to.
Yeah, no, I think it's time to, we can call it just a lost cause on our picks. But hey, I will say my bet with our buddy Danny, Cowboys under 500, still looking pretty good after that rough loss
It
today.
is.
So
It
it's hanging in there. I was getting
is.
worried for a second with their back-to-back wins, but yeah, we're hanging in there. But yeah, in other news, John, the interesting topic of, I guess, the ever so changing landscape of college football and what it's become with, name, image, and likeness, NIL deals coming into play, kind of creates a new role for each football, I guess, college and administration. So they've kind of developed a new role of general manager, almost like it is for professional sports. Or exactly what it is for professional sports now. There's like almost contracts included. So, the big name was Andrew Luck, kind of getting back into the football landscape, going back to his alma mater of Stanford, as general manager of football. And I think that's a phenomenal hire. I think he's a brilliant guy. Career cut short based off his own decision. I've got to give him all the power in the world because of, what he is, looking forward to. And this is a great way for him to get back in the game. So, certainly kind of want to discuss, your thoughts on that, John, and I guess your thoughts on this new position in college sports.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it develops, to see if it's going to look like the NFL version, because in college, with NIL, yeah, it sort of is like a contract. You're providing money, but it's also scholarships, So there's a lot more factors, I think, than the NFL, other than just pay, scholarships, grades, things like that. So I'm very interested to see how this develops in the next few years. I think it's a smart decision, though, because these GMs are going to be able to bring some players in, not just a coaching now. Now you have a GM who, like with Stanford, Andrew Luck, he could bring a lot of good QB prospects to Stanford because Andrew Luck was a very good QB in the NFL. So he could share a lot of what he did and tips to sort of help these players possibly get to the NFL. So I think it's pretty smart, but I'm curious to see how it's going to look.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Stanford in particular needs him more than ever. They, I believe, just lost to San Jose State, who is actually a phenomenal team. They have a really good wide receiver over there and good quarterback. So, not really surprised with the way Stanford football has been over the last couple of years. So good timing on Andrew Luck coming in. Then another factor I'm interested in is, players hold so much power. They can enter the transfer portal really at any time, it seems like. You look at that UNLV quarterback who went early on in the season because they didn't, uphold a contract that they said they were going to give him. So, props to him for taking that decision and staying by it. But, that's another thing is how much say are they going to have in this? And, but you go to a team that has a guy like Andrew Luck, like you mentioned, it's huge, just to be a mentor. And kind of going in a little bit deeper with that, John, is I'm curious what, I guess we can go back and forth on this. I know we have a few names each. What player, coach, do you feel like could be great for roles like this?
When you mentioned it, like one name popped up in my head, which I can't even, I don't know why it just came up in my head. Colt McCoy, for some reason, just came up in my head. Great quarterback at Texas when he was there. Went to the NFL, wasn't ever a starter, but great backup. But he just seems like someone that could really coach, that QB position. And like I say, he was successful in college. So, and he got to the NFL. So he has those skills to be able to provide these players, the opportunity to possibly make it, And if you go to Texas right now, Ewers doesn't look like the QB that everybody thought. I think it's going to be Manning that's going to step up, possibly in the playoffs, because they need that QB. But that's one name that I don't know why it just popped up in my head. It was just Colt McCoy would be good at a as a GM.
Yeah, super valid. I like it. I think that's a really good one. Kind of had a similar thing. Again, don't know why this name popped in my head. Saw him play live once in college, and maybe that did part of it, but I guess with the role he has now, kind of makes him a little bit more relevant. But what came to mind for me was Maurice Jones-Drew. Saw him play at UCLA. He was fun to watch there. He's actually a Bay Area kid. And now he does the radio commentary for the LA Rams. So just listening to him, he's just, I'm not a Rams fan, of course, but listening to him back when, we lived down in LA on Sundays, it was really cool. I felt like he's very good at his job, and he's obviously incredibly knowledgeable. And I feel like he would just be a great teacher because he does a lot of explaining in his his commentary. And I feel like he could be a great benefit, especially going back to a school like UCLA, because they're pretty big hot mess right now. So yeah, Marie Sean Giroux really popped into my head and obviously had a great career too. So he would be an interesting one. Next name, I guess keeping it in LA, was Matt Leinart. I feel like again, another guy that's on TV often. Follow him on TikTok. I feel like he's pretty interesting and fun to watch there too. And storied career of everything he did. He was in college a long time. Famously took those class, like a ballet class, I think his extra senior year of college. And you know, he just knows a lot about it. Won a Heisman, was there at USC during such a story time. He won a Heisman, right? I'm not killing myself over that. Okay, I
I
thought
think
so.
you did.
So you know, it's just I feel like he would be really good at it. And again, just he's still around the sport, so it'd be fun to watch him.
No, yeah, that was one that I thought about too. One name, Sam Bradford. That's one that came up to me. Same thing. I think he did some NFL game calling or somewhere I saw him game calling, but just
Yeah, I think you're right.
knowledgeable. Like I say, I think he was a Heisman winner, but great quarterback in college, number one pick for the Rams. You know, had a decent career, not a great career, but still was successful, made that money. And like I say, right now in college, as a GM, you have to convince these kids to come to your school because you're going to make them money. And Sam Bradford, you could say, has that on his resume that he was able to do that, and he could teach, you know, these youngsters how to be that type of player. So that's one that came up. Like I said, I don't know why I thought about Sam Bradford, but it just popped in my head, and I was like, why is this name popping up out of all people? You know, why not Tom Brady, these other,
Sure.
like, you know,
A solid one.
but yeah. And then I had for some reason, Vince Young. I think
Oh, yeah.
just like a storied career in Texas, you know, beating USC, having that under his belt, you know, I think it was in the Rose Bowl. Like, that's something these kids that may not have been alive during that time could look up and see that he was one of the great college quarterbacks, and it could be someone you want to play for and learn from. So I had a Vince Young. I think that'd be a good one.
Definitely. Yeah, another storied career up against Matt Leinart. So yeah, I like that one a lot. I guess for this next one, I guess I don't know why. I just commentators really came into my mind for something like this. Maybe it's because they're still around the sport actively after their careers and they just show so much interest in it. But another one I have is Greg Olsen. I feel like he's just so knowledgeable. He's very charismatic. He knows a lot about the sport. He does great at commentary as well. And he'd be a big pull in my opinion. I feel like he's such a big name and could do a lot for a school. Do you have more names, or I have a few more I could rattle off here.
Those are the three I had. So,
Okay.
yeah, go for it.
I have I'll mention two more. One more was Nick Saban, if he
Nick
wants to
Saban.
get back into it and take like a lesser role that's not so vigorous as being a head coach. I feel like as a GM role, he could help, you know, really just drive around the country and just recruit because he was obviously incredible at it. So Nick Saban, if he wants to kind of dabble back into it. And then another one, I don't know why, sticking USC, Mark Sanchez, another commentator again. You know, he's rocking the man bun these days. He just seems like a total vibe, and you know, he had a great college career. So and another one that I feel like could be knowledgeable, quarterback role, you know, excuse the butt fumble, but Jets haven't been as good since he left. So
I was about to
say what you
say,
want.
will that butt fumble, you know, lose some recruits seeing that
Right.
tape, you
You know,
know?
if Mark Sanchez ever came through my front door trying to recruit one of my kids, you know, to go to play football, Hey, I would ask him, tell me about butt fumble, and then we'll have a little bit more to talk about here. I think it's a great talking point.
It is.
But hey, like I said, Jets really haven't done a whole lot since he left anyway. So, hey.
No, yeah, those are good ones. One that came up right now because I've seen him on like other podcasts. I know he was doing commentary, but was let go recently this last NFL season.
Oh.
RG3, Robert Griffin.
It's
I
a great
think
one.
every time I would see him, with the commentary, very knowledgeable, great quarterback when he played, great in college. I think for him, injuries just derailed his career. I think that'd be another great GM.
Oh yeah. No, that's a phenomenal take. I actually I heard him this past week on a podcast, and again, super knowledgeable. I think he was talking about a Bears prediction he had, and how he was where he was right, and his prediction was spot on because he had lived through it. So again, another player who can basically provide all of that knowledge through living through certain situations. So that's a really good one. Yeah. I like that one.
And then I think we talked about it a little bit before. Not the probably on the highest part of the list, but a lot lower. But because as a GM, getting kids into your school, you need a name. You need to have that coach. People go to Colorado because of Deion Sanders, that name Sanders. Johnny Manziel, type players. Do you think anybody would ever be interested to see if that works? Would it be a risk to take for, maybe one of these smaller schools that need just more recognition?
Yeah, I think you'd if you're let's see, if you're a school like what is it, Kent State, I think, who's just abysmal these days. I mean, you throw a big name out there and see if he wants to, what's the worst thing he's gonna tell you? No, I don't want to do it. But if he says yes, that's a big name. I think that's gonna garner some attention. Obviously what he did in college was phenomenal. It was absolutely incredible. Regardless of what happened off the field, but we're specifically talking a college role here, so why not? I mean, and then I every interview I kind of see with him now, it seems like he's cleaned things up, and it seems like he's on a good path now, and has kind of acknowledged a lot of his missteps, and hey, it's more teaching, right? Through experience. So I wouldn't totally shoot that one down. I think that, it's 2024, John, almost 2025.
There's a few things in that contract. You cannot take the recruit to a party. Cannot shotgun these amount of beers with the recruit. Just one max.
We're just at Hooters for the wings. That's it. It's team
No,
building.
it'd be cool, but
Yeah, no, that's a great one. Hey, you never know. We'll see where this position takes us. And sticking with college football, John, I definitely, kind of wanted to get your feel for things on, the college football playoff, format, and if you feel like there's any snubs out there.
Yeah, I think the one snub, and I think it's just because of the name Alabama. I think without having Alabama in the college football, it hurts it a bit just because they've always been there. But yeah, they didn't have their best season. So I see why they didn't get in with their losses. The layout, this is the first year for this tw the playoff, this amount of teams, right? The 16 teams
It
or the
sure
12
is,
teams.
yeah. Absolutely.
So,
I kind of like it.
look, it's really interesting. Boise State at three sort of surprises me just because of the conference they played in, getting that bye compared to these other teams that played harder divisions, harder teams. But I still think Boise could do a lot. Genty, Heisman, can't, he's up there for the Heisman just because of what he's done for that team. So I'm excited for it. I think the big snub for me was just Alabama. I think it's just a team that when they're playing well, which they have done, it sort of hurts college football not having them in, but it's also makes it real that, hey, once you lose a coach like Nick Saban, you might not be able to get back to the big show.
Absolutely. What a change that is, too. Just his first season gone. It's got to make Nick Saban feel kind of good, right? It's like, hey, I'm gone. You guys are already not making the playoffs, which is, it's unheard of. Like you said, it feels odd. But then, that allows teams like Arizona State and Boise State to kind of work their way in. So I think that's really neat, too. And SMU is another one.
SMU.
Indiana's fun to watch. But my big snub is Miami.
Miami.
They're so close to getting in. I understand, just like Bama, that they had some pretty rough losses. But Cam Ward, like that dude's just, he's a ton of fun to watch. And he's great TV, in my opinion. And he would have been a joy to kind of continue to watch. But obviously, we're going to see him in the NFL next year. I'm just kind of shocked by Clemson. I don't know. I just feel like they're in it, but I'm just not impressed.
No. I don't think they're gonna get past the Longhorns. I think it's like I say, I was like if Clemson got in, I think Bama should have gone in. I think they should have gone over SMU. SMU did great this year. I think they're a great team, but just like you mentioned, Miami should have been there because they have Cam Ward TV rating wise. If they were in the SMU position, Penn State versus Miami, that would have been an amazing game to watch.
Oh yeah.
If Miami was in the Clemson spot, Miami versus the Texas Longhorns, another great game to watch. I'm not too impressed with Clemson. I think they'll, I don't really have them getting out of this first round. I think Penn State has such an easy route because they have SMU. And then I don't think Boise is going to be a cakewalk, but it's a lot easier than Georgia, Arizona, or Oregon.
Yeah,
So we'll
completely
see.
agree. No, and yeah, basically they'll have SMU, and then they have Boise State, and then they would face either Georgia or the winner of Notre Dame, Indiana. So, I'm not even overly impressed with Georgia, to be honest with you. That was a really close game, and then no Carson Beck now. It seems like he has a UCL tear, which is obviously the Tommy John surgery, so that's going to be really rough. So it makes that just kind of speaks to what you say. It's going to make it even easier now. And unless we see, I don't know the kid's name, but number 14 came in for Georgia. I don't know if you watched that game, John, but the
I saw
dude
some
just
of
like,
it.
that big hit at the end of that game was really fun to watch. And Kirby Smart said he's kid's a winner. So, good for him. I hope he makes something of a story there, but I'm not overly impressed with him. So it would be kind of cool this year. Oregon's fun to watch, obviously, but it would be fun to watch like these smaller schools of SMU or Boise State kind of revitalize things and get back into it. It's been a while since we've seen Boise State perform like this. It's been years. So, and Gentry's good TV. That dude's so good. He's so much
Genty
fun.
is. I
Love
like
that dude.
that's I've been watching Boise State games just because of him. Just watching him run and just taking these long runs. I'm like, man, this kid is special. I saw a mock draft where he might be a 49er.
Oh, imagine on that offense. Oh my
How would you
God.
feel with that?
Oh, I'd be so pumped. Buy a jersey. Actually, maybe I shouldn't, because last time I bought a jersey
I
after draft day was Trey Lance. Shout out,
was
Trey.
about to
I always do that shout out.
say.
Oh man, he's still not starting on the Dallas Cowboys, but yeah. Anywho, I'll reprieve myself from not purchasing a Genty jersey quite yet. I'll let him get a couple years under his belt, and then I will do it. But man, that would be really fun. That would be really, really cool to do. But then, I'd probably like a guy like Mason walk and keep Cucurendo, since we wouldn't have to pay him quite yet. But yeah, I mean, because we have to look past Christian. Hey. Thoughts out there. It's not crazy, not crazy right now. But we'll see. But fun wherever he goes. I know we had Fidel on last week. He texted me and mentioned that he's gonna probably buy a Gensy jersey anywhere he goes, but the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't think any of us besides Danny has the wherewithal to buy one. So Cowboy jersey.
It'll be good. But predictions, Tim, who do you think might win it all? Who do
Ooh.
you think is going to surprise you?
Yeah. I'll go one. I'll do this. I'll do I and hopefully you'll do it too, John. I'll do one where I think it'll happen, but I'll do one where I want to see it happen. I'm gonna go Oregon. I just feel like they look like the most complete team. They've beaten a lot of these teams in here, and you know, the next competitors, I just don't think show it. So I'm gonna go Oregon. I think is going to win it. A team that I would like to see win it. F it. I'm gonna go ASU. I saw their Scadabo. I think cool name. He's gonna be interesting to see where he goes actually in the draft. But you know, he's fun to watch. That another one that shakes tackles like crazy. And yeah, so fun team. And then also their head coach, born and raised in Phoenix area, I believe, worked his way up through various positions and then has had incredible success with ASU over the last 2 years he's been there. So props to him. I it's always fun to watch a new coach thrive. So those will be my picks.
No, yeah, for me, the one team I think is gonna get there, I think I've been on them since the beginning of college football, Oregon. I think they're just a
You
great
have.
team. I think Dillon Gabriel's just been showing he's a great QB. I don't think he's gonna be a top pick, but I think he could be something that could still develop, you know, especially being left-handed, and his running, you know, game. He could have some success in the NFL, so any team that picks him up might have a gem. But a team that I want to see win, one was ASU. Just seeing this last game, especially where they were pre-ranked before the season, not even getting close to where they're at, I think it's amazing. And then Notre Dame. It's a team I've always enjoyed watching. Just seeing them win it again, I think would be amazing. So hopefully they could win because, like I said, if they get through Indiana, Georgia, you know, without Carson Beck, they may not be the same team. They're still a dangerous team, Georgia. And then they just got to get through probably Penn State or Boise, which I think is possible. So they can make it far, but those are the two teams I think I'd want to see win it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and Notre Dame's a great pick because I mean they started off with that loss to A&M at the beginning of the season, then just have just bulldozed teams. They've looked so good. And here's a hot take for you, John. Marcus Freeman, head coach of Notre Dame. If they win it all, he's the next coach of the Chicago Bears. What do you think? Gets a
I think it'd
promotion?
be, I think he does. I
State
think if
goes
he can
from
make it.
Notre Dame's in what, Gary, Indiana? Short trip over to Chicago. Hey.
It
Hey.
could be.
If that comes to fruition, Chicago Bears invite us over. We'd love to tour the facility. But yeah, no, we'll see. Again, another fun one, because Marcus Freeman seems like a great guy, and you know, he's younger in the college football coaching realm, and you know, another, you know, great story of him jumping into this role and making the most out of it. So, yeah, it'd be a cool team to watch.
No, it would be so. But yeah, that's college football. I'm excited for it. Like I said, it's the first year with 12 teams. I think it's a lot better, a lot more football, college football, because it's so interesting. It's so fun to watch. So I'm excited. Hopefully they keep it this way. Hopefully it's really good, not too boring. But like I said, it's the first year for it. So we'll see how it goes. I know when they started doing the first rounds of the college football playoffs, it was just the four teams. At first we didn't know what it was going to be, and it was really good. You know, I enjoyed it, so I'm excited.
Yeah, likewise. I think this is a great format, and it kind of gets us, you know, like we've mentioned, teams that, you know, are more under the radar even and have won their conferences. So I think that this is going to be a great format, and I look forward to it, because then it's just not, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson on repeat. So it's good. That's still fun football to watch, don't get me wrong, but this is good stuff. I really like this. So, yep. Excited to see where this goes, and yeah, college football, a lot going on, and I think it's all for the good.
Our last little topic we want to talk about, I think Tim and I, we talk about it a lot. And it's also because we are sort of, you could say, Disney people, and I think a lot of it's through our wives. I enjoy Disney a lot. I know
Me
Jenny's a
too.
big Disney fan.
Oh, yeah.
Vera's a big Disney fan, but going to theme parks, prior, once I got married to Vera, we had our Disney annual pass for I think like 6 years, and we'd go pretty much every other weekend. So, and one of the topics I think we discussed because we see it on TikTok, on social media, is overseas rides they have. They just seem so much better, technology that they're using, and even getting rides first before they come over here. So I think one example for me is the Tron Light Cycle ride. It's in Florida now, but it was always, I think, I want to say it was in Shanghai Disneyland. But that's a movie I've always enjoyed watching, Tron, even the old one. And just seeing that light cycle ride, I was like, man, I want to go on that ride one day. And I was always like, it's going to be hard to go to Shanghai. It's a pricey trip, but now they have it in Florida. I've heard rumors it's coming to Anaheim. If it does, that'd be awesome. But what I've always seen myself is overseas, they have the better rides. And I just don't know why when it all starts here in the States, to be honest, like it all happened. First Disneyland happened here in California. So it was like, why are, and nothing against Shanghai, China, Paris, but why are they getting all these awesome newer rides when we're still stuck with, and like I say, I'm not trying to hate. I enjoy the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. It's a nice little nap time, every now and then it's cool.
The smell in there is great.
But it's like, the ones in like Shanghai, they have like these big old screens and like it's just so, I'm like, why are we missing out on that? But what are your thoughts, Tim, on rides here compared to overseas?
Yeah, I growing up, I always felt like I used to compare it to. It seemed like Florida always ended up with like Disney World had better rides than Disneyland. And it was like, what the heck? Like, why does Florida, that's not the original. Like, why do they get it? It's, and then, the disappointment kind of ensues. And then you come, to find out like Disneyland Japan or Paris and Shanghai have just these attractions that are like, man, like you mentioned Tron. It's like, dude, they do most of the filming over here. Like we talk about like the originals here, but it hasn't become very expansive really. Star Wars was the biggest addition, and that's still they kind of got it up full capacity at this point, but like it took a little bit. And that was obviously a great addition though. I've had a lot of fun with Star Wars, and I think that's a really cool spot. But yeah, I too am the same exact thing. It feels like we're missing out on some stuff. And like Jen and I and our son at the time, we didn't have our daughter yet, but we had season passes to Disneyland, and just the format of the park hopper, how it was, they've changed the season pass so much, and I don't think it's for the better, as a lot of people think. I think I don't know. Are you in agreement on the new season pass?
I'm not the biggest fan of it. Ever since I saw, what is it, the Magic Key or whatever, when I saw what it was and that reservation system, I'm like, no, you guys just lost me. I'm sorry, because I think if you miss a reservation, you're blocked off for a certain amount of days, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. You have to fulfill it. So, but before it's like, man, we used to after work, on Fridays, we would go after work, and then we would just go there from like 8 to 11 p.m. And just drive over there. We'd sometimes just get a cheap hotel nearby, stay the night, and then just do the whole thing the next day. And it just didn't matter when we came or went, what we did. And it was awesome. Discounts on everything. Parking was, I think, free
Free,
with our
depending on the
passes.
pass. Yeah, depending on the pass.
Yeah, it was, we made sure it was free because I think we're thinking about going later at night, things like that at times. So, yeah, it was such a great experience. So I love that. And again, the changes weren't always for the great. I know I'm getting kind of off topic here, John,
No.
but yeah, it seems like they're missing out on a lot. And then we talk about pricing too, though. I literally just looked up Disneyland Japan, and it's like $62 a ticket. We're like, what, three times that, two times, two and a half times that here?
I think three times on peak season. So like right now during December with like
Lord.
all the decorations, probably close to
Yeah.
200.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an arm and a leg to get there. But you know, it's but again, you go for the experience, and there's nothing like it. And the enjoyment you get out of your kiddos is like it's a whole new rejuvenation, kind of like it is like, you know, you kind of get stagnant with a holiday like Christmas after a while. You know, you share it with your significant other, and then you know, it gets reinvigorated once you have kids. So Disneyland, it's fun going as a couple. Don't get me wrong. But just bring kiddos. It's like you get to relive it through them also. So, yeah, I don't know. It seems like we're missing out on some stuff. Is there anything lately, John, that you've seen that they're kind of building up and overseas that were?
Not that I've seen that they're building up. I think it's just rides I've seen them open up, like the Universal. They had Mario Land over there first, Super Nintendo World. I understand why, sort of, because that's where, Super Nintendo it all started, Japan. But like I say, the technology, and it's just like, and I think this is just my ego living in the United States that we've always been built up that we're the best country in the world, even though we're not. I'll admit it, we're not the best country. I think there's so much wrong with the states. But like now seeing it here at, in California, Super Nintendo World, awesome. But we're still missing some of the rides that they have in Japan. So, missing stuff like that. I think I saw the thing that sort of brought this conversation that I brought it to you is I saw the Jurassic Park ride in Shanghai,
Yes.
where it looks more like the Transformers ride here, where it's animatronic. It's not a water ride. It's like you're running away from dinosaurs, and I'm like, that experience for me at least, it bring me back to a little kid. And just my love for Jurassic Park and dinosaurs would be so awesome to see. And it's like, we're not even, I think, close to getting that. Like, I enjoy the river adventure. I enjoy that water ride we have here. But seeing that, I would prefer that, I think, more than just getting wet, with a whatever 100-foot fall, whatever it is.
So you're telling me you don't like the daddy long neck, you know, leaning over and, you know, getting sprayed by water with by some little tiny raptors. You don't like
It's
that, John?
fun. It's okay. It's
Yeah,
okay.
that's all right. Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's obviously like an iconic ride at Universal's with Jurassic, but yeah, that's a different experience and that's a lot of fun. You know, I feel like they could easily do that here too by you know, maybe removing Transformers ride and then putting in a Jurassic ride. Like they can do like a rotisserie of rides, I'm sure. You know, and start kind of developing it. Obviously, they kind of caught on to Mario Land now, and there is a ride there now. I haven't been on it personally. Have you been on that one yet, John?
I've been on it, and I'll say, cool to experience. Not really something I'm always looking forward to do. It's
Okay.
fun to experience it. I think we all played Mario Kart. It was a fun game. Feeling like you're part of the game is awesome, but the ride itself, I think there's just a lot missing to it for my taste that I'm not gonna stand in the 2-hour line for it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I've heard the lines are outrageous, and that's a tough thing to deal with. I know that when Jen and I, when the first Star Wars ride came out, and it was basically like you choose your role with like being an engineer or pilot, and you know, we did the single rider because Theo couldn't go on it at the time, and I think even if he could, it's like the line was like 3 hours versus you go single rider, it's like you're on in a couple minutes. So sometimes that's the way to go, and but you don't get to experience it quite the same, but. Yeah, you know, the long rides are kind of a turn off, or lines are a turn off. But I do see here that Avatar might be coming to Disneyland. That could be pretty cool. Iconic movie, obviously. And a Coco ride with California Adventure, and then maybe a little bit more of an expansion with Avengers Campus. I I haven't dabbled too much into Avengers Campus, to be honest. Last two times we've gone to Disney in the last couple of years, year and a half, we've only bought Disney tickets just, because we're there and we're not there often, so experience full on just Disney. But I am curious, like, where we there's obviously a Spider-Man ride at Avengers Campus, but is there much more than that yet?
After that, it's just a Guardian of the Galaxy ride, what used to be the
Okay, yep.
Tower of Terror. I've heard they're expanding Avengers Campus, but like I say, we'll just see what it looks like. What I've always seen about the difficulty, at least for us here in California, is land around the area. You know, because if you look at Florida, they're in swamplands. They just got to find ways to take that swamp out, make it concrete, and build. And I think it's probably the same in, you know, overseas, Paris, Japan, China. I think they have the land so they could create a lot. So I think that's where we're sort of getting chipped a bit, but I hope these expansions here in California do happen. I hope they happen pretty soon, but we know they could take a while.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, that's the biggest thing is timing. It takes a while. Your kids kind of outgrow certain things, and it's kind of a bummer if it takes X amount of years to get to that point. It's like, well, they're not fans of that anymore. So, it's one of those things. But I know that they redid what was it, Splash Mountain? So I'm curious to see how that turned out. I'm sure it looks great, and that would be a fun run to get back on. And another big one for overseas stuff is I'm a big foodie. I know you are too, John. That food overseas, like Japan, for example, I feel like I would just eat everything in sight. It would probably be really bad for my health, but man, like I think the food there would just be ridiculous. And I'm sure it would be a great price. But have you looked too much into the food?
I haven't looked too much into food, but I never have a doubt with food overseas being a lot better. I think even a lot healthier than here. It's just because of the ingredients they use. I think that's one of the reasons I also like theme parks. I don't know why, but I just love the food there, even though it's all fried. For some
Oh yeah.
reason, they put something in it that just makes it delicious. Like,
There's a little sprinkle of something.
yeah, who knows what it is? You know, it could be some of that white stuff. But it's like at Universal, like and Vera always knows, like when we go to Universal, I go to the fried chicken place in at Simpsons World. And I always need to get the fried chicken for some reason because it's just so
Oh
delicious. And
yeah.
I don't know why I enjoy it so much. But yeah, I think when we go to Disneyland, I'd be eating a lot more sometimes than going on rides.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Me too. I don't know what kind of turkey those turkey legs come out of. If it is even a turkey, those things are just that is a Jurassic Park turkey. Like it's outrageous, but they're really good. And turkey legs are always a must, I feel like. We do like that Main Street buffet on the right hand corner has the fried chicken with the mashed potatoes, vegetables, and I
That's a
think
good one.
that's always phenomenal. Character breakfasts, we're really big on those. For of course for the kids and the characters that come up to you. And I will say those are a buffet and I get my damn money's worth. I am at that buffet often.
I can
I'll be
imagine.
there. Yeah, I'm there for the kiddos. Like when the characters come by, I'll be like, oh yeah, look it. And then it's like, okay, well, we have a break now. I'm gonna go back up to
Yeah,
my
you
plate
just
again.
fill that up and just sit there eating.
Yeah, but hey, the food is actually very good and it supports, somewhat of the cost. I know everybody has a heart attack when they look at it, but it's great. And it's all an experience and that's always a fun one for me.
No, I enjoy the food. I enjoy all those places. I for some reason the corn dogs also. I always have to get a corn dog. I don't know why. I don't know what they use in that batter. Like I said, it might be some of that white powder stuff. Who knows what it is, but it's a must have. So yeah, but like you mentioned, I think overseas they have amazing food as well. I think what they've been doing here in the States is like those food festivals at California
Oh,
Adventures where they
yeah.
just bring a bunch of food. I think that's sort of trying to incorporate like what these other countries do with food at their parks, which I've also, when we had passes, we'd go for all that and I'd eat so much.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, and those are again really good. And you get like one stamp from each place, and you just sample different things. And yeah, the desserts I remember were always just ridiculous. Like they were so good. That was a really fun one. The festivals were a must do, like a must thing to do every time you're there. Whenever they have them, I think it's annually or semi-annually. I forget what it is.
I think they have multiple ones. Now it's like a food festival.
Okay.
They do one in winter, and then I think they do another one for like different occasions. So I think it used to
Sure.
be one a year, but I think they do like three or four a year.
There you go.
So
Yeah.
yeah.
That's great.
I think one question for you, Tim. I don't know if you've looked into it. I've always thought about looking into it, but I haven't had a chance. If you go to a park overseas, say like Shanghai, not knowing the language, do you know if they give you like translation devices to know what the rides are saying, or are you just gonna have to sort of figure out like what they're saying based off what you know?
I have no idea that I'm sure they have something. I feel like, Disney across the board is just so they're just next level with their experiences, and I just feel like they wouldn't let visitors go on an experience at a new overseas park without knowing what's going on. I feel like I would definitely have Translate app out, and they have like those devices where like you have the earbud and like you're like, oh yeah, I know what you said, and then like you say it back. And I feel like that would be a helper. I feel like I would definitely make the investment in that. That could be pretty good. But yeah, I feel like I would need all the info I could possibly get, because yeah, that would be the trickiest part. But I think it would also be kind of fun trying to learn the new language while you're there. Have you seen anything on it, John, or what do you feel like you would do if you didn't know?
I think if I didn't know, I would just enjoy the experience first. I would just enjoy the ride, like I say, because the one video I saw was that Jurassic Park ride, and it was all in Japanese, so I was like, I understand nothing, but I was like, just that experience in itself would be amazing. And it's sort of just like, okay, if I can get on it again, because it also looks like the lines over there sometimes aren't as long as over here, that I could do it multiple times. And it's like, okay, let me get that translator app, or put some headphones and let's find a way I could get this translated just to know what's going on, the audio.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's the way to go. I mean, use technology to the advantage, right? And yeah, I just feel like that might be I think it's something worth doing. And I just feel like Disney Japan, in my opinion, is one that comes to mind for something that me and wifey have discussed. Is there one in particular for you and your spouse, Vera?
I don't think we've had one in particular. For me, it'd be Disney Japan, just because I think they have Universal there too, and I've always just wanted to go to Japan, so it's a place,
Yeah.
if I'm going all the way over there, I'm gonna make it a 2 week trip and get my money's worth. So I think Japan would be the first place. I think after that, I'd want to probably do Paris, because that'd be another interesting one. And like I think what's also cool with all the Disneylands, all the castles, they're all a little different. So having a
Yeah.
picture with all of them would be an awesome just memory.
That's actually a really good like art idea, I feel like. You kind of just enlarge the photos, and then you could make it like some type of mural or framed photo. Like that would be actually a really good one. I like that idea. Try to get the same angle at each park. That would be pretty cool. That'd be next level. But out of curiosity, have you ever been to Disney World in Orlando?
We went once, so it was, when was this, 2018
Okay.
probably. But we only went for a few hours because we were there for a marathon. So we did the Dopey Marathon. So it's where
Oh,
you do the
nice.
5K, one day, 10K, half marathon, and a full marathon. So it was like 72
God,
miles in
those were
4 days.
the days, Sean.
That's when I was young, could do it. I
For
tried to do
you.
that I'll survive a 5K after that I'm done.
Yep.
But we went for a bit. It was very crowded just because, like I say, it was the races, so everybody was going. I think once Keanu gets a little older, if he enjoys going to theme parks a bit, we'll probably try to do a trip and, just do it better, have more time. We went to Disneyland a few months ago, or California Adventures, and the one thing I'll always say is I'm going to pay extra for those Fast Pass, the Genie Plus, whatever it is, because just myself, I always hated the lines. I enjoyed the Fast Pass system. If you ask Vera, any of my family, I was the Fast Pass king. I knew how to use and take advantage of those Fast Passes,
There you
where
go.
the longest line was like 20 minutes for me.
That's great. That's the way to do it. Yeah, me and Jen are same exact way. We're unless it's like a ride that is, God, maybe less than 25 minutes, we'll wait through it. But other than that, yeah, fast pass, we're waiting until that time frame comes through and then we're going. 'Cause yeah, especially when you involve kids, it's like it can be tough after a while. So
It can be.
yeah, no, I'm with you. Fast pass is key. It unlocks the enjoyment. There's no doubt because long lines are not fun. In one thing that I feel like Disney World does right is not really Disneyland. Maybe we'll get there at one day. But you mentioned land, and one big thing with land over there is one time we went with Carla and Cody, who are relatives of the family, and we went in their camper and stayed at the Disney campground over there. And then you can hop on a boat, and then that boat will or ferry will bring you around to the different destinations. And I thought that aspect was so cool. Like you can literally go from like wilderness camping, and then like you're in the midst of Disney right after that. And I think that was so cool, and it was such a
That's
fun
awesome.
element. And yeah, that's definitely a good way to do it. It's a fun way to do it. So I recommend.
No, I think what I like about, and like I say, I've only been there once for a few hours, but what I like about what I've seen about Florida is, like you mentioned, they have the land, all the hotels are there, they have shuttles. If you get those Disneyland hotels, they have monorails to the parks, or at least Disneyland. But everything's like pretty close that you could drive to it pretty quickly, so I think it's awesome. I think they gotta find a way to continue expanding over there because, like I say, it's making them money. They have the ability to, here in California, they have to buy out a lot of people, to be able to build just a few hundred acres worth of rides,
Yeah.
so
And the surrounding lots are going to charge so much damn money knowing it's Disney.
Yeah, I would if I would live there. It's like, you want this place, you got to pay me a good
Oh
amount of
yeah.
money where I'm set for
Ex Hell
life.
yeah. Generational wealth. Yeah.
Yes.
No doubt. It's the way to do it. But we'll see what they do. Hopefully it's on the up and up, but if it's not, then hey, it's worth going overseas.
No, it's worth going overseas, waiting. Everybody, let us know what you guys think. If you guys have been to the overseas, let us know your favorite rides, what you guys like about it, why we should go to a certain park than others. We're just very interested because I think for me, now that I have kids with Vera, it is something I want to give Keanu, that experience once he gets a little older, of experiencing these theme parks, all this stuff. So, and then also just traveling. I think it's a great thing for him to experience. So that'll be the
Absolutely.
goal.
I'm on board with it. Yeah, same exact motto over here. It's killing a couple birds with a stone there. You get to say you go to Japan, you get to experience a whole lot more than just Disney itself. So, yeah, no, fun stuff.
For
Love it.
sure. But that's our episode today. Thank you, everybody listening, our subscribers, to continue coming back every week. Like Tim mentioned, we didn't post anything last week due to Tim being sick, my kiddo, now me. But we're back. If you are watching and aren't subscribed, please hit that subscribe button. It really helps us, and just leaving the comments. We really enjoy that engagement. Good or bad comments, we're always going to enjoy it. I think we've seen some comments and videos people have separate other thoughts of what than what we're saying, and it We enjoy it, so we're not going to really get butthurt about it. I think it's very fun to engage with all of you. Any questions you guys have? Anything you guys want to hear us talk about, or even if you want to join the podcast, the show, anytime, let us know. You know, we're always looking for guests to come on, talk about whatever you guys want. Like I said, you know, we've never talked about theme parks, and it was just something that came up, and we thought it was a good, fun conversation to have. To
Definitely.
see. So, yeah, let us know more topics you want to hear about. But thank you, everybody. Have a great week. We're getting close to the holiday, so take care. You know, it's getting cold out there in some areas wherever you're watching. Don't try to get sick like I am right now. Hopefully, I'm better by the holidays. But
Yes.
yeah, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for watching, commenting,
Yeah.
liking. We appreciate all of you.